Hello, good morning, and welcome back to Morning Ray. I'm your host, Leonora Lana, and today's episode was actually prompted by a DM from one of you guys. I got asked, can you please talk a little bit about how to spend time with yourself when you don't love yourself? I genuinely have tried reading, going on walks, meditating, journaling, tried positive affirmations, and still do not love myself, and I don't like spending time with myself. And this really led me to think and question a lot of things because personally, for as long as I can remember, I have always enjoyed and valued my time with myself. But I do know I have friends who hate doing it. They don't do it. They're always around people. They're always around family, friends, whoever. They're not really one to sit with themselves. And it led me to want to research it more and kind of find out the psychology behind all of this. Like, why do some people like spending time with themselves? Why do some people don't, like this listener? Like, why is it so hard for her to do that? And from a baseline perspective, like first thought is that when you are alone, you are kind of forced to deal with any thoughts, feelings, emotions you may be having about yourself or your life. And when you're with people, you are given a distraction from that. You are distracted from your thoughts and feelings. You may acknowledge your feelings, but you don't have to sit there with them in discomfort. And I think that's kind of where it stems from. I think as a 24-year-old thinking about this question is that the people like myself, not that I'm perfect, I'm not always super comfortable with being by myself. Obviously, it comes in waves, but generally speaking, people who enjoy and see value in spending time alone are comfortable with working through their thoughts and feelings and are curious about it and gain value from it and use it as a way to strengthen their relationship with self. Whereas the people who currently feel uncomfortable by spending time by themselves or don't find enjoyment or value in it have not done that work yet. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, the first step is acknowledging it, like this listener has. And she seems to be trying to find joy and find love in doing it by reading and going on walks and meditating and journaling and practicing positive affirmations. And it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's definitely something that you have to continuously work on. And what I always say, guys, is that you have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable if you want to grow and evolve as a person. But until we get into the bulk of the episode and the thick of it, I still want to do a little life update. I want to go through our current faves and then we'll go through this topic more. But I felt really called to talk about it when I saw this DM and I was like, well, that's a great topic to talk about because I've never really thought about it like that because I personally haven't struggled with this that much in the past, like I want to say 5 to 6 years or so. Or honestly, this could be oblivious of me, but I don't think I've ever really truthfully struggled with alone time. And then there's psychology behind that with like how you're raised and your relationship with your parents and how you were given love, etc., like your ability to self-soothe. We won't go too far into that, but let's just give a little life update, current faves. On a lighter note, I am currently struggling so hard with allergies. I have never had seasonal allergies in my entire life. I never really got it. I knew they were a thing, but I never struggled with it. And all of a sudden this year, as of like the past week or so, I step outside and I'm instantly congested. I feel like I have to sneeze a million times. My eyes are kind of itchy. It is not fun. I do not wish this upon anyone, and this fucking sucks. And I had to go to the drugstore this morning to go get some allergy medicine. So we shall see how that works for me. I'm also going to pick up some bee propolis spray because I know having like local honey and bee affiliated products can really help with allergies as well. And I feel like normally I do, which is maybe why I'm having allergies this year, because I haven't. That's my theory. But apparently people have also told me that I think it's like 7 years or something. This could be so false, but apparently every 7 years or so you can develop allergies, almost like how like your hair changes every 10 years. Every 7 you can apparently randomly just start having allergies. So hot girls have allergies, I've decided to coin it. On another side note, I really want to learn how to play pickleball. I have for a while, ever since JC Marie was talking about playing pickleball. Oh my God. Ever since JC Marie had started talking about pickleball and playing it, I was curious. And then Caitlin started playing, like Caitlin Nolan. And now on my TikTok, I don't know if you guys are on the same side of TikTok that I am, but I'm on the side of TikTok where it's like, POV, you found your boyfriend or your husband at a pickleball court. And it's all these hot guys. Like, that's literally my whole For You page. But besides that part of it, I just want to learn how to play a sport. I've been very much into sports lately. I finally understand them. I get the hype around them. Baseball, not so much, even though if you've been seeing my stories, I've been to 2 baseball games in the past week after not having gone for years. But I've really been enjoying watching hockey, basketball, tennis. I finally understand what's going on. And I want to learn how to play pickleball. I want to like do more activities. And I'm thinking like maybe I could incorporate this into like hot girl sweat, like the hot girl sweat events. Maybe like we could do a hot girls play. Like, how would you guys feel about like a free little event for us to get together and learn how to play pickleball or spike ball or fun activities we can do together this summer? Or maybe like even a run club or something. Like, I think that could be a fun little thing that we do together. If you live in Toronto, I think that could be fun. But we'll look into that more. We'll start planning that more. Speaking of hot girl sweat, I will be having ticket sales go live this week for our event next week, which is our Hot Girl Sweat event at Ride Cycle Club on Ossington. All proceeds are being donated to the Mood Disorders Society of Canada. Yes, that's correct. Sorry. All the organizations have really long names, so I wanted to make sure I was saying that right, but it's for the Mood Disorders Society of Canada. Bipolar does run in my family, so this is something that is very near and dear and close to me. And yeah, so I will be posting on Instagram when tickets are going to go on sale. They will be $40. There are 56 spots. Tickets tend to go fairly quickly, so make sure you buy them if you want to get them when they go on sale. But everything will be posted on my Instagram at Alana Bloomberg. And now on to my current faves. I am back in my morning hot girl walk era. It is so nice to go on a walk in the morning. I used to do this all the time when I was living at home and when I had first moved out, and I really just fell off of this. And honestly, I've really fell off of it in the past year or so, ever since I started working for myself. And I really do miss it. I miss my morning hot girl walks, and we're going to bring them back. It was really nice to go on a quick little, well, not quick, it took a while, but I went on a nice like 6-kilometer walk this morning, and it was really nice to just like listen to a podcast, walk around downtown Toronto. Last week I went and walked by the water, but like it's nice to switch it up. I love seeing all the little houses on the side streets and walking around downtown to explore my city. I feel like I'm constantly finding new spots and seeing new things in areas that I don't typically walk through, which is always really nice. And it's just really grounding, and it's movement. I'm getting fresh air. I'm getting my sunlight in the morning, which we all know helps wake us up, like we discussed in last week's episode. I did, however, snooze my alarm a million times this morning, but we're not going to talk about it. I slept until 9. I don't really like doing that, even though I can technically. I don't know if maybe it's a guilt thing. Like, it just makes me feel like I'm behind, or that I'm sluggish, or that I'm not really working, because if I were to be going into office, I couldn't do that, obviously. But it just makes me feel unproductive, lazy, and behind. But I definitely did need the sleep, so I'm not mad about that. Still had a nice morning. We were still productive today. So you win some and you lose some. And I'm not going to get anywhere by being mean to myself or being harsh on myself or thinking about what I should have done. I'll just change it tomorrow and apply my anti-snoozing techniques, because who wants to be 5 times more likely to be anxiety, anxious, or depressed? And who wants to be 2 times more likely to be inflamed? Not this girl. I also don't want to be groggy in the morning, so we're going to get up when our alarm goes off. But anyways, I digress. I am obsessed with the Giorgio Armani Prisma Glass Lip Gloss, specifically in Cherry Glaze. It's this sheer red lip gloss. And you guys know I'm normally like pink or clear or like light pink gloss girl, but I got sent this one and I'm obsessed with the color. I'm already like going through this bottle because I've applied it so much already and it feels really nice. I don't like a sticky gloss. It is definitely more like of a like oil gloss hybrid situation, but I really, really like it. I'm not a huge fan of the applicator. I'll say that I find it a little bit skinny and flimsy, so that's not my favorite, but the packaging is still stunning and I love the color and it looks so good. I don't know. I'm just obsessed with it. And then lastly, my current fave, if it wasn't obvious already, I'm a big sports girl right now and we're kind of vibing with it because my whole life I didn't get sports. I didn't want to watch it. I would always say I hated sports and my mom was always like, never say that to anyone. But I just didn't get it. I didn't find what was so interesting about it. I didn't understand what was going on in the game. I didn't grow up with brothers. I've never had a boyfriend. My dad didn't really watch sports growing up because my parents are from South Africa. Like he would watch like rugby like very rarely, mostly like Tour de France because he cycles and like golf. Like that was it. Maybe tennis was on that amount, but like he never tried to explain anything to me. I don't even know if he knew what was really going on in tennis. I think in golf and cycling because he does those things. But like I was never educated, so I never got it. I never went out to figure out this information myself, but I've been educated and now I like it and it's fun. So we're gonna run with it. But let's get into the episode. We already kind of spoke about it, but to remind you what the question was and what prompted this, and maybe some of you can resonate with this, maybe you don't, maybe you're more on the side where I'm at, where I feel really comfortable spending time with myself. I like getting to know myself better. I like sitting with my uncomfortable thoughts and feelings and working through them and trying to understand the deeper reason as to why I'm having those thoughts and feelings. But to reiterate, how can you spend time with yourself when you don't love yourself? Even if you have genuinely tried reading, going on walks, meditating, journaling, trying positive affirmations, and still do not love yourself and don't love spending time with yourself. Personally, from my perspective, why I love spending time alone is that I would classify myself as like an extroverted introvert. But from an introversion standpoint, I do really do charge by being alone. And I'm also very comfortable in being alone. I don't feel lonely, I want to say 99% of the time when I'm alone. Maybe this is like a dependency thing. I was alone a lot as a child because my parents were working a lot and traveling. And I found it kind of hard to make friends when I was younger. Like I definitely had friends, but they never felt like fulfilling relationships a lot of the time. So maybe it's like from a dependency thing, like I find comfort in the dependence that I have on myself and I can trust myself and I'm not relying on anyone, if we're getting really deep here. And then from an odd, oh my god, I typed out this word and I don't know if I can say it. Fun fact, I used to go to speech therapy when I was younger because I would swallow my words and not enunciate. My tongue was too big for my mouth. And I remember I used to always have to like practice clicking my tongue. I don't know. That's like the only memory I have of it. Autonomia. Wow, I can't say this word. How to pronounce. Okay. Autonomous. From an autonomous standpoint, aka authenticity, I personally enjoy and value time to myself. Like I like getting to know myself better and understanding my thoughts and feelings better. So I find comfort. I recharge alone. I enjoy and find value in having time to myself. And I like getting to know myself and sitting in that discomfort and dissecting my thoughts and feelings and anything that comes up. I went and like read a few articles on research studies as to why some people enjoy alone time and why some people don't. So from an article in Psychology Today, it was talking about how phonies, aka people who are not authentic people, don't enjoy spending time alone, whereas authentic people do. And if you've been listening for the pod for a while, you would know that I'm on a mission to learn another language, and that is why I have been using Rosetta Stone. They are one of the most trusted language learning programs available on both desktop and as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language that you want to learn. They are a trusted expert for learning languages for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages being offered, everything from Spanish, French, Italian, German, Chinese, Japanese. It also has fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone really immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's very intuitive. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences, and it's really designed for long-term retention. You're not just going to learn something and then forget it if you're not constantly practicing. What I love is they also have the built-in true accent feature, which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. So it's like having a personal trainer for your accent, and you can make sure that you're pronouncing everything as you should. It's very convenient, and it has amazing value with a lifetime membership to all 25 languages. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Morning Ray listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Thank you, Rosetta Stone, for sponsoring today's episode of Morning Ray. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up with your springtime goals. No fuss meals, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. I've heard such amazing things about Factor from my friends, and I've been so excited to try it. Head to factormeals.com/Alana50 and use code Alana50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Alana50 at factormeals.com/Alana50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Thank you, Factor, for sponsoring today's episode of Morning Ray.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I'll have all these articles linked in the show notes. It's just two that I looked at. But essentially, studies gathered that authentic, autonomous people are more likely to say that they spend time alone because they enjoyed and valued it. And are more so, it's more so about enjoying it and what they get from it as opposed to getting away from people. Whereas for inauthentic people, they were especially unlikely to like to be alone because they wanted to be, and they were less likely to find alone time valuable or beneficial. Like, they just didn't see a benefit or value in doing it. And I think also there's this misperceived connotation that introverts like alone time more than extroverts, but it's actually both introverts and extroverts who are authentic people enjoy and value alone time just as much as one another. It's not just limited to the introverts. Further, people who are dispositionally autonomous are curious about their own emotional experiences. So like myself, it's not necessarily that I love every single part of myself. Rather, myself, like these people, if we feel anxious or feel fearful, we want to dig deeper and find out why that is. That's honestly why I love going to therapy, because I'm able to kind of figure out and undercover and like uncover, why am I feeling anxious? Why am I feeling this way? Why am I having these negative emotions, instead of running away from it and avoiding it and putting it under the rug, which is definitely something I used to do. And maybe that's why, I guess when I was younger, I didn't love, like I spent time alone, but I didn't love it. I like felt wrong for doing it in a way. Basically, people who are dispositionally autonomous, they're willing to sit with being uncomfortable with their feelings and being alone and actively are trying to figure out what it means. And I also want to speak on the fact that there is something different between, there is a difference between being alone versus feeling lonely or having loneliness. And as a society, we tend to use these two words interchangeably, but they are so different. You can be alone and be happy. Loneliness is something that is a negative or painful experience, whereas being alone is just like a physical description, like you are not with another person or with other people. It's the idea of being alone and what you make of it. People who struggle with loneliness can link itself to deeper roots. So that can be like a trauma, a loss or grief, lack of self-esteem and insecurity. Usually loneliness is due to having low self-esteem and being insecure. But if you are someone who, and that doesn't mean like even if you are secure, like you'll never experience loneliness. It just means that if you are someone who lives a healthy and balanced life, you are better equipped to be able to face loneliness because you have both internal and external resources to help you navigate those feelings. You're not scared of those feelings. You know how to work through them. You have the support system to kind of guide you through that. And you typically have like a sense of strong community and a strong sense of self. Someone said in one of the articles, this was from the Huffington Post? It's from HuffPost.com. And the article was called Why You Can't Stand to Be Alone and How to Learn to Love It. And it was by Elena Hall. And she quoted, who did she quote? Ross Rosenberg. And they said, healthy, resilient people respond to normal loneliness by resolving it. Unhealthy people become overwhelmed by it. And I really couldn't agree with that more. Like, I love all my friends, but I can see so visibly who has the skill set to deal with being lonely and to find comfort in that discomfort and knows how to navigate those thoughts and feelings that they are struggling with versus my friends who can't do that and they're almost unwilling to do it because it's so uncomfortable to them and they don't know how to cope with that they just avoid it altogether. And I think this is something that you can be taught at a young age. Like, I was reading one article and it said it has a lot to do with how your parents and you had a relationship when you were younger, like the way that they taught you how to self-soothe. And it's kind of hard to learn this once you're older. But I do think that if you are willing to put in the work and to get comfortable with feeling uncomfortable and question yourself as to why you are having these feelings and these thoughts. Why are these anxieties coming up? Why are these negative thoughts and feelings coming up? And like really digging deep down, you can learn to love spending time alone. You can learn to love journaling and meditating and practicing positive affirmations and going on walks and going to coffee shops and just doing things by yourself without the need to have someone else there. And it will help you gain more self-esteem, a stronger sense of self, more confidence, and just be overall a healthier, happier person and not struggle with loneliness so much. I think if you are someone, if you're listening to this, and if you are someone who hates being alone and spending time alone because it makes you feel lonely or uncomfortable, I want to encourage you to do it more. I want you to encourage yourself to set aside time, whether you start with once a week, maybe once a day or something, where you are entirely alone. You are not numbing yourself out by scrolling on Instagram or TikTok or having TV or music playing. Like, I want you to get comfortable and set aside time sitting in silence. Maybe you have a journal nearby you or paper or something, but I want you to really encourage yourself to get comfortable with sitting alone, sitting in silence, and working through the thoughts that come up, question them, and work through them. The more you do this, the sooner you will be able to enjoy and find value in your alone time. I honestly think that's what I was forced to do, especially in the past like 5 to 6 years. And that's why I am the way I am and why I'm so comfortable with being by myself, because I find value in it and it gives me time to work through those thoughts and feelings I may be having that I'm ignoring when I'm with other people and I'm being distracted from. Or that I'm being distracted from when I'm scrolling on TikTok. I know I scroll on TikTok as a way to numb myself, and I know I'm not alone in that, and I know a lot of people do that. It's a great distraction, but I really encourage you to sit in silence. Whether you're sitting in silence in your bedroom, in your apartment, you're going on a silent walk. Yes, I said that I go on walks when listening to a podcast, but a lot of the time, I've said this before on the podcast, I simply just go on a walk with no headphones in, phone in pocket or purse or fanny pack, whatever. And I'm just forced to think and deal with whatever comes up. Your relationship with yourself is the most important relationship you have. And if you don't have a strong sense of self and a strong relationship with yourself, how are you supposed to have that with others? I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. But I do think that it is important to be able to be comfortable with being alone with yourself. And it's okay if it's hard. It's okay if it's really uncomfortable for you. It's okay if you don't love yourself right now. It's okay. We're not always going to love ourselves 110% of the time. We all have insecurities. We all have self-doubts. We all have negative thoughts about ourselves. But it is how you navigate and move through those thoughts and feelings and emotions that makes you who you are and betters your relationship with yourself. You can't expect someone to give you the love you want and deserve if you can't give it to yourself. And you gain that love for yourself through working through those thoughts and feelings. By actually working through those thoughts and feelings, not half-assing it. No one's looking at it. No one's looking at your journal. No one's looking into your mind. So don't half-ass it. If you actually want to learn to love yourself and learn to love and enjoy and value time by yourself with yourself and learn to love and genuinely enjoy reading, going on walks, meditating, journaling, practicing positive affirmations. You need to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. You need to get comfortable with working through, acknowledging, hearing, feeling, seeing even the darkest of thoughts of yours. And if you feel like you can't do this alone, then I think it's time that we maybe start to look into something like therapy, like going to a therapist and talking to a professional. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. You're just human. I talk to a therapist every month. I go for an hour and I talk to her. I don't have some mental illness, but I still talk to her because it helps me keep my relationship with myself strong. And for me to not go back into the habit of just throwing everything under the rug and ignoring it and numbing myself and distracting myself. And it's okay if you're in that position, because I once was in that position where I just threw everything under the rug, ignoring it until it blew up in my face. And I kept going through that cycle. But you know what's amazing about our mind and our life and everything is that we have the power to rewrite our story, to change our circumstances, to change how we look at things, to reframe things, to change what we do today and how it will ripple into the rest of our life. We may not be able to change what happened in the past, and thinking it over and through and thinking what if or should have thoughts are not going to change anything. But we have every power over our actions of now. And those actions that we do today can help make spending time by ourselves a little bit easier, a little bit more enjoyable. It will help us love ourselves just a little bit more. And it's not going to be a linear process. It's not. There's going to be ups and downs, and sometimes we're going to backtrack a little bit. But the more you challenge yourself to sit in that discomfort and to do things alone, whether it be going on a walk, going to a workout class, journaling, doing an activity by yourself, and being able to sit there without distractions and work through those thoughts and feelings, the sooner you will start to love yourself more. And I know this is a bit tough, love. I am very much that person. I will just give you the straight facts. And if you don't like it, I think that says that maybe you need to do this. If you don't like this conversation at all, if you're like, oh no, I don't need to spend time by myself, I'm perfectly great, that's not for me, I think it gives you all the more reason that you need to spend some time alone and get to know yourself better and understand those thoughts and feelings better. And I think that will also, in tune, allow you to show up in your life, in your relationships, around other people as a more authentic, true version of yourself. You won't be reliant on reflecting or mirroring what other people are doing or what their interests are or what they like and claiming it as your own. You'll be able to share what you like and what you don't, and you will be able to confidently communicate with a partner who you are and your needs and wants and things that you need to work on and maybe your traumas or scars that they should be aware of. But if we don't spend time by ourselves, how do we know ourselves really? And if we don't love ourselves, how can we love someone else, and how can someone else love us? Just some food for thought. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I honestly felt very passionate about this, and you guys know I've kind of just been in my head a little bit about the podcast lately, but to the listener who sent the question in about learning how to spend time with yourself when you don't love yourself, thank you. It really prompted some thoughts and discussion for me to share with you guys today. If you liked this episode, please don't forget to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I love reading your reviews. It's how you can help support the podcast. I love seeing you guys post that you're listening to the pod on stories. But I love you guys so much, and we'll chat soon. Bye, guys.